The Alpha Sessions.
Hello and welcome to the Alpha Sessions. I'm Sophia Brown, and joining me in the studio today we have Finn St. Clair. How are you going, Finn?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Let's start off, if you could tell us a little bit about who you are and what brought you into music.
Yeah, I'm originally from Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. I moved here. I've been maybe three or four years ago now. Took a break last year, but I moved back about a month ago now. So, and came here because I guess this is kind of where everyone comes to for music. Family ties to London as well, so I'm familiar with London. Mm-hmm. And especially the music heritage that it has here, and wanted to just leave the small town, Ireland, that we don't fit into, we don't belong to. We want to go out and we want to travel, want to do things. I'm like, okay, I also wanted to be around better musicians so that I can be myself better, I can learn from other people. So, and that's why I'm here, this way.
Okay, nice. So you're pursuing music in London at the moment.
Yes, full time.
Can you tell me a little bit about what got you into music? Were you into it as a kid, or did you come to it later in life?
It's always been my thing. Mm-hmm. I'm musical, as a musical person. Music kind of runs a little bit in the family. A lot of other cousins and stuff play different instruments and they sing. And it was always my thing as a kid, more than sports. It's usually you have music or you have sports.
Mm.
Especially in Ireland, those are the kind of the main things that gets people away from, you know, the regular kind of mundane jobs and stuff. And Irish were very musical. And growing up, it was the records that were in the house were, you know, Buddy Holly and Elvis. Those were the records that I grew up with. My mum was into the 60s music, so I got a lot of that. And then for me as a musician, my grandparents lived in Battersea, near Clapham Junction, and we used to come over for Easter and the summer holidays. And I remember, you don't know, but you might remember, there's a TV show here called Top of the Pops, which is like a weekly show every Friday. And I remember being in my grandparents' house. I was 9 years old. I don't remember anything else about being 9 years old, but still to this day, it's one of those moments that I remember watching. And this was like my music I was coming into, and this is back in 94. So this is how long it was. And I remember there's a band called Green Day were on it. Mm-hmm. And they played a song called Basket Case. And that was my moment of, oh, what's that? Mm-hmm. Like three guys in a band, blue hair, green hair, cool. Punk rock. And it wasn't the pop music. It wasn't my parents' music. It wasn't Irish music. It wasn't country music. This was, oh, this is what I gravitated to. Next day, went down to Woolworths, which doesn't exist anymore, which is where you used to buy. I sound like an old man now. But, you know, and this is where, you know, you'll buy your albums, you buy your singles. And I bought it on cassette.
Aww.
So, and I actually still have the cassette. I found it. And I'll never throw it out. And it was like, okay, this is my song. And I had that song, had another song as the B-side. And I just listened to it on repeat, which then got me into, okay, music's my thing. And growing up, I'm playing piano, that I took very easily to it, even at school. I was the music one.
Mm.
It came easy.
Aww.
Which is going then, not being really good at any other, not like in school, not like in really any other subjects, but going into music class and coming top and it becoming easy.
Mm.
And then being made fun of because I was so good at it. That
I feel like that's a great problem to have, being made fun of because you're great at something.
Yeah.
Well, I would love that.
Yeah, and people are like, okay, music. And then I guess when you look back, you don't realise it at the time, but when you're looking back and you're going, oh, you know, you get older and you want to discover life and trying to figure out life and who you are as a person, and you realise, oh, I'm the music guy.
Yeah.
It's my thing.
You always have to circle back to, you know, those things that make you feel fulfilled and happy, and that's awesome. That's a beautiful story.
And also having other jobs, like I said, you know, I've worked small town, just regular jobs, and then going out to Australia, going out to New Zealand and Canada as well, and doing every job you can imagine, especially because whenever you're backpacking, you're survival mode.
Yeah.
So you're just doing any jobs, but you acquire the skills. You know, I'm doing sales jobs, worked in dairy farm, I've done welding, woodworking, all that kind of stuff. But, and then I you had 2 years in Australia, a year and a half in New Zealand, 4 years in Canada, working towards the residency. Like, I got to get out of Ireland. I don't want to live there. Mm-hmm. It's not for me. And going to 4 years in Canada, came back because of the visa and COVID. And I thought, I'm sitting on the bed, like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I have to do something with my life and stuff. I've had all this experience. I've had all these different jobs. And I was watching a documentary about the Foo Fighters. And thought, I'll just put it on. I'm just kind of having some me time, relaxing, trying to get out of the Canadian mindset that I'd been in for 4 years. And I was watching this documentary, and there was a shot of the Foo Fighters at Wembley Stadium. There's 80,000 people. And I was at that time having this conversation with myself, going, you know, what am I doing? What do I want? And I saw this overhead shot, 80,000 people singing back this song, back to Foo Fighters, back to... And I thought, that's it.
That's what you want.
That's what I want. I don't want anything else. I don't care about the 9-to-5 job. I don't care about that. I've had all this experience of traveling and mountain towns and beach towns. But how can I dial it down? What's the one thing you want? And that's it.
Mm, awesome.
Nothing else. And, yeah. And then also, because you're from a small town, no one really thinks the way... you think everyone kind of has the same kind of mindset. Mm. And because I've had, my mum's from here, so my grandparents lived over here, so I was able to, fortunate enough to come over to London as a kid and experience a different life, a different city, a different culture. And that being able to go, and then coming back to Ireland and thinking, oh, there's just one way of living that here that people just accept. So again, when you're older and you're thinking back of things, you think, I think differently as well. So how can I add that? And then adding music, what kind of songs do I want to write?
Mm.
I would then study the songs. What kind of songs do I want to write about? You have to be authentic. You have to be genuine.
Yeah.
You can, especially in music, whenever it's the arts, because that's what people gravitate. You don't want to do, okay, well, what do people want?
Mm.
Because people, they're necessarily what they want. We're all, as musician and as music people, we gravitate to a certain thing musically because the artists that we all enjoy, they're all authentic and they're doing their thing. They're not trying to cater towards us.
Mm.
So what can we do? What do I want to do musically? What are the songs I want to write?
Mm.
And from being out in, you know, the Irish background, being a bit transient, a bit nomadic at times as well, being on the road, Australia.
Sure.
Being in New Zealand in a car, in a tent. Going out to and beaches and mountains and Canada and beaches and mountains and hunting and country music and trucks. I absorbed a lot. And
sure.
I thought, I want to put this into my music, but I also wanted to come out of me as well. I don't want to think, all right, I'm going to write this. I wanted to come out of me and I allow it to happen.
Yeah. So you think that all of your experience abroad and living in different places has like shaped the music that you've written, and not necessarily in an intentional way, just in the way that you've lived your life and experienced different things.
Yeah, because if I wrote the songs of the artists that I would listen to, because I didn't grow up with singer-songwriters. I never even considered myself a singer-songwriter. I'm more of a songwriter-singer.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because I grew up, it was Green Day, it was Nirvana, it was punk rock, it was Oasis, it was rock music. So I can't really do that with an acoustic guitar, but it's what kind of comes out, like you said, about the transient life, picking up the absorbing that, and then allowing that to shape. And I just let the music come out. What I've learned from songwriting is that I don't think about it. I let it come out.
Just let it happen.
I let it happen. And those are the ones, those are the melodies that come out.
So we're going to have a listen to one of your songs now. Could you quickly tell me a little bit about your song Sunny Day?
Yeah. I actually wrote that part of it in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was on a dairy farm, working out on a dairy farm just outside Christchurch. And I brought my guitar everywhere with me. I bought a guitar out in Australia, brought it to New Zealand, and then on this dairy farm. Nothing for miles. And I would just play with my guitar, and I kind of just came up with the rhythm and the chord structure of it when I was out there, and I thought, okay, I've got an idea in my head of what I wanted to sound like. And I wasn't at that stage writing lyrics, but then I after a while, but sort of, okay, I'll try writing lyrics. I've no idea, because you know you don't think, oh, you've got this. You're talking against yourself. I'm not good at this. I can't do this. But no, I thought, try it. So basically, the song is more about when you travel and everyone thinks you're having a great time because you're out there, you're traveling, and all they see is the Instagram snapshot of when you're traveling. But what they don't see is, I see all this stuff, but it's not having the same effect as it once was. You know, you've got mountains, you've got beaches, but you're miserable because you're just, you don't have a direction. So the song was about me being in New Zealand, having all these things in front of me, like Lake Tekapo, and being like, oh, this is incredible, but I've seen a lot. So you're desensitized to what you see.
Sure.
And wanting something better. And, you know, Sunny Day, it'll take me, you know, wanting you to take something, take me away from this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
And I guess there's a, at the time, I wasn't looking into the lyrics of it too much. But then when you look back at you, maybe there's a, everyone's talking about mental health these days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a little bit of that, you know, from it.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, let's have a listen. This is Sunny Day by Finn St. Clair.
Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly away. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly. No, I see clouds, I see rain, to try to hide behind this pain. My eyes were blind, but now I see, little this pain is temporary. Grassy fields fill my heart, this mountain ranges on so dark. I'm out in on the water's edge, no more misleading thoughts in my head. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly away. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly. The journey's aim will find its way. Starting fresh, tomorrow's another day. I'm on my own, but not for long. You've been watching all along. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly away. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly. One day soon, she'll come along and love you to the moon. And fields your sky, diamonds of the night, love on high. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly away. Sunny day, won't you come my way? Take me by the hand and fly.
The Alpha Sessions.
Alrighty, that was Sunny Day by Finn St. Clair. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. So Finn, you are a full-time busker, is that right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your experience busking in London. Have there been any sort of like crazy experiences that you've had, or anything that's been really wholesome and sweet? Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
I had everything. I never thought I would be busking, but I moved to London and I thought, I'd never performed in front of people and I was terrified. I was terrified of doing it, because the first time I did it, even doing an open mic, the first time I did it, an open mic was in Liverpool, and I was terrified. I had like the little Fitbit watch, and my heart rate before I went up was about 112, and I was terrified. And, you know, the legs were shaking, and then to perform in front of people, I thought, but I'm not good enough at this. I can't do this. But there's that drive of this. But this is what I want to do.
Mm.
I have to do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're looking at your bank balance going, I got to make some money here, and I'm not going to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So started busking in London, down by the Tate on near South Bank. And not good, but playing my songs.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first day I was there, and I was playing one of my songs, and this guy was walking past, and he just said, "That's good music." Takes out his wallet, hands me a fiver. And I thought, I'm playing my songs, and I'm... okay, something's resonating with somebody, with people out there. Just keep doing it. And I was talking to another busker, and he's going, and after a while he said, you know, whose songs are you playing? I goes, I'm playing my songs. And he goes, you're really good. And am I? He's like, yeah, no, I thought these songs that you were playing were just people's songs that I didn't know who they were, and you decided to play them. So that gives you a little nugget of, okay, maybe there's something to this, and then how other people respond to your song. And I would never go, hey, I'm a singer songwriter, this is my song, this next song is one of my songs, because people automatically go, they shut down, they go, oh, it's one of his songs, we're not going to pay attention. So I would do the opposite and say, oh, by the way, that was one of my songs.
Gotcha.
And you can go, and then they get a different reaction, because they go, oh,
that's quite good,
I like that. And you notice how people respond, people dance to it. Other buskers, they hear it every single day, and then they're singing your songs to you.
Mm.
And they go, okay, you think you're making fun of me, but my song's stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And then other buskers would be like, you know, I was coming home last night and I had your song stuck in my head last night. And I say, thank you, appreciate that.
That's a successful day, it sounds like.
That's good. And I said, that means it works.
Yeah.
So, and you use it for, I kind of use it as like the gym. You're getting your reps in. You're being better at performing, you're being better at singing. Whenever I take my songs out, the songs that I've written, I play it. How do I think it feels? Okay, I don't like the chorus, but I can do better with the chorus.
Mm.
I bring it back. Okay, people are tapping their foot to it, people are dancing to it. The song, which we're going to play later on, which is called Show Me the Way, I was playing it 2 weeks ago, and there's a school trip that were there. And again, I played it, and then I tell people what it was. And the chorus is quite simple, but they were singing it. And I thought, okay, this works. They're a school trip. They're a bunch of, I don't know what it is, they were like 17, 18-year-olds, and they're all dancing to it. And they came up and they're singing the song of a chorus that I wrote that they've never heard before.
Mm.
But for the time it took them to walk up, they're now singing this. I'm like, okay. And that's really, really nice.
It must be such like a rewarding feeling.
Yeah,
because have that feedback.
Yeah, because we have, especially like, you know, when we're Irish, we like to put ourselves down.
Mm.
We don't like to big ourselves up. And you're kind of taken back a bit, because you go, oh, people are feeling this song. They don't know what it is, but they're singing it.
Mm.
And you have other people, you know, people dance and stuff, and which is a nice thing from busking. You get that side of it. You have people who sit back. I had one woman, I was singing a song that's on Spotify, it's called Bye Bye Baby, and it's actually about a girl, but I was singing this song, and this woman came over after I finished, and she was crying.
Mm.
And I went, oh, am I that bad? And she goes, you were singing the song, and someone she knew had recently passed away, and I was singing the song Bye Bye Baby, I'll see you on the other side, is the lyrics. And it just reminded me of that. And she was crying. I thought, oh, wow, so you're touching something. Here's a song about something that I've been through, that I've written about. But someone else who hasn't heard this song has taken something completely different from it, which is a good, you know, that's art.
Mm.
Here's one thing, but someone else has taken something from it as well. And and then you have the downside of it, which is where you've got to be constantly on, especially when you're playing on the streets, because you don't know who's on the streets, and there's a lot of homeless on the streets, and there's a lot of people who are on drugs, unfortunately, on the street. And some of them I get to know, because they're there every day, and I talk to them, and there's some of them who are just, they're kind of too far gone, but there's what the guys who are there, they're homeless. They've been homeless. One guy I know was homeless all his life. He's in his 60s now. He left home when he was 14. There's a guy who was speaking to a few days ago who I've known for a few years, and he was homeless for 32 years. And they give me money. They're like, here, I want to give you this. He's like, I'm going to come and see you tomorrow. I'm going to give you some money. I'm like, Nigel, don't worry about it. You know, it's fine. Honestly, it's fine. He's like, no, I want to. Okay. But you have this, I think we're the only people who, not all of them talked to him, but I don't know how I got speaking to them. But and I talk to them, and I think we're one of the only people that give them any kind of human interaction. And you can see it in their eyes. You know, you can see, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul. You can see their eyes. You can see the pain in their eyes. You can see the hurt in their eyes. And just having a little bit of a conversation with them, they're almost like our guard dogs. If I play up Trafalgar Square, and that's what it's like, because I would get there in the morning. They're not there. A lot of them have moved on. I don't know where they are. But when, you know, a year or two ago, I would get there in the morning. They're there waiting for me. What time are you on? What time are you playing? Play the Irish music. Will you play the Irish music? So I have to play Whiskey in the Jar for them. And he's always coming up. He's like coming up with £2. He's like, here you go. Here's money for you. I'm like, thank you. You don't have to, but they want to give. I'm like, I don't like doing it because I know they're homeless and stuff. But he's like, I'm just going to drink it. I'm like, okay, fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you can connect with so many different people from different walks of life through just this one thing, which is the music. That's really cool. I mean, I did some busking in New Zealand, and I'm sure it's different in every country, and I'm sure it's a bit different in Ireland as well. But often people would, like, put produce in my guitar case, like fruit and veg, some bread, like a loaf of bread, and I'd have a full guitar case of, like, produce. I'd be like, this is great, guys, but, like, I'm not sure the avocados are going to, you know, fund my music career. But still, just like a very wholesome thing to do and very rewarding when you can have that, like, immediate feedback and from people and see it, how it's, like, touched them. So that's really cool. Yeah. I love that. So we're going to have a listen to another one of your songs today. Can you tell us a little bit about your track, Find Who You Are?
Yeah. So wrote that in between Canada and Ireland. And for me, discovering myself as, through all the experiences and understanding when you're older and you think of things differently in life, and not knowing who I was growing up, because I always knew I wasn't overly Irish, because I have, like, there's English in me as well. My friends would joke that, you know, there's too much English in me, being having English mother and my grandparents and stuff. So I never really fitting in to home and the Irish way of living, and going out to Canada, ended up in Calgary, which is about an hour and a half drive away from the Rocky Mountains. So if anyone knows, like, Banff, which is the main kind of small mountain town out there. So my weekends were just getting up 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and just driving through these mountains. And I found myself getting out of the car and not bringing bear spray, which I'm now thinking, how on earth did I walk through all these mountains and forests without bear spray? But I'm very much off the beaten track as a person, and what I like, I don't like to do the touristy things. So I'm in the forests, I'm in the mountains, here's a trail, and I'm just walking through these trails until the trail becomes just me walking through trees, and I'm understanding who I am. And, you know, you're thinking back in life, what am I doing, who am I, where am I meant to be? Because when you have so much disconnect from growing up in Ireland, and I kind of joke the only thing I have that's Irish is the accent and the humour and stuff. But understanding what I like, and, you know, the song is called Find Who You Are, so you have to go out to find who you are, to find yourself, and being among the trees and being among nature. And it's something that I picked up in Australia and New Zealand as well, about being, I didn't like being in cities, I liked being by myself. I liked being in nature. There's something very, very calming about it. And I would always, when I was in, more so, I got further out in Canada, that I would just go out, walk in the forest, walk in the mountains, and I would just find myself just completely, all of a sudden, I'm like, where am I? I'm thinking, I find myself just going out, sitting on a rock in the trees, looking at a mountain. There's nobody around. You can hear maybe a bird. It's so quiet. And it's almost like the trees have an answer. Like nature has an answer. That's whenever the body slows down, especially when you live in a city. There's so much going on. You're out in nature where we are so far disconnected from that, living in a city.
Mm.
When you're out there, there's nobody around. There's nothing there. And you sit and you think. And you allow the thoughts to come on how much I enjoy. This is so nice.
Mm.
Do I have to go back and live in a city?
Yeah.
Why can't I just live here?
Yeah.
Why can't, this is so nice. And you're in connect with nature, with everything, with the stars. And then you look back at the world, like I was saying, it was at Stonehenge yesterday. How do they know to do these things? Because they're so in connect with the world and the cosmos, and everything's connected. And how can I use that to benefit myself as a person? How can I, and I would spend 4 years in Canada and I'm sitting on a rock. How can I talk to myself? How can I talk to, this is a really long answer for your question of a song. the answer is going to be longer than the song. But it's going out into nature, connecting with yourself, connecting with finding who you are and discovering things about yourself.
Okay, beautiful. Well, let's hear it then. This is Find Who You Are by Finn St. Clair.
And it's cold outside, but I don't mind the rain. And the moonlight brings tides of change. In the dead of night, stars shining bright will help us find our way. We'll pack our bags and head out west. There's nothing in our way. And the silence where freedom reigns. What's out there, see for yourself. Just you and me among the trees, and no one knows we're here. We'll pack our bags and head out west. There's nothing left to fear. Go where you know you can't find who you are. Go where you know you can't find who you are. We're woken by the sun's rays. The blackbird will sing its praise. Another day is on its way. Who knows what it'll bring? Just you and me among the trees, and no one knows we're here. Go where you know you can't find who you are. Go where you know you can't find who you are. The wind blows, it calls your name. They'll never hear it, they're all the same. The wind blows, it calls your name. They'll never hear it, they're all the same. Go where you know you can find who you are. Go where you know you can't find who you are.
The Alpha Sessions.
Alrighty, that was Find Who You Are by Finn St. Clair. Thank you, Finn, for sharing. So you would say you don't have like a particular writing process?
Not really, no. There's not there's not one way to write a song. Like I say, sometimes I fall asleep, there's a melody appears. Sometimes you wake up and you're singing something that you've been, and I don't know where it's coming from. And you get it. Other times I might put on a podcast and watch it and just lie in bed with my guitar, or watch football with my guitar, and something, you might hit a wrong note and go, oh.
And that inspires an idea.
And that goes, you might have been stuck with something and you have in your head, okay, this is the way I want this song to go. And because you're not consciously doing it, your hand kind of hits a wrong note, or you do something by mistake and you go, oh, this is the way this is the way the song is meant to go. And you allow it to happen.
Sounds like a very free way of like approaching it. That's great.
I've had a couple of songs recently that was doing the same thing. I thought, right, I'm going to switch my brain off. I'm just going to put it on a podcast, sit, zone in and out of it. And then for some reason, I've had melodies. It's almost like I've never experienced it before, but it's like they've been downloaded into my head, fully formed. I'm not thinking it, but they're forming in my head. I'm not thinking about it, and these melodies come in, and I gotta stop the podcast, take the recorder out, record it in my phone, and then get the guitar out. Okay, what are the chords behind it? And then let it come out. And if you get stuck, I'll sit in my bed. I'll look out the window, because these were in Ireland, so I've got the fields behind me, and I know my own process of songwriting now, that I don't, it's not thinking, it's allowing it just to come out. It's almost like it's coming out yourself. As long as you don't think about it, you don't force it, then that's the best way to do
Takes
it.
Takes the pressure off.
Yes. And what I don't question what comes out, I just allow it to come out. It might be right, it might be wrong. If it's wrong, okay, I can do better. And I'll leave it, and then you allow it to come out. And that's how I know, okay, this song's good. Yeah. And if it's not good, I'll go, okay, it's not good. However, I like this bit, I like that bit. What can I, how can I make it better? And when you get stuck, again, I'll walk away. I know when to walk away. I'll go down, I'll do the dishes.
Yeah.
Then a melody comes in your head. I got to stop, I got to go back. Okay, yeah, this is it. This is it. Yeah. And then there's other times where I'll take songs where I've got something that is a melody, and I can't do anything with it. And then I'll go through all my voice notes on my phone, and they're all like labeled. Okay, this is a chorus, this is the verse, this is good, this is can be for this, this is catchy, this is what. I'll go through it all, play it. Does it work? Does it fit? No. And you're almost piecing it together. Here's a melody that I've got nothing for. Here's a chorus that I've got nothing for. Do the Lennon McCartney thing, push it together, like Tetris.
Yeah.
Okay, that works. Okay, is it good? Does it have, do I like it? Do I think it's good enough? Does it fit? Does it have a vibe? It's not necessarily, okay, it works, but, you know, from listening to other people's feedback on my music, what do they tell me? Okay, then I can use that. Okay, there's a vibe to it. Okay, it works. Is it good? Okay, yes, I like it. What does the body say? Not necessarily what does the mind say about the song, but how does the body react to it? And if that works, then I think it's good.
That's so interesting. We were talking a little bit off camera about what's important to you in a song, and how capturing a vibe is really important to you, rather than the song being super precise and on beat and perfect.
Yeah.
So how would you say that comes through in your songwriting?
Because I've been doing a lot of pub gigs, and I busk on the street as well, and I've got a little foot stomp, and I've noticed that I guess there's a punk rock element to it as well, because a lot of my music growing up, and the music that I listen to is punk rock, so it was, you know, the Nirvana, you know, the a lot of 90s stuff, and that's not perfect. And a lot of the music I listen to, again, from the 70s, the Zeppelin stuff, the AC/DC stuff, you can hear the mistakes. So, and that's the song, those are the albums that we all love, where if you take an AC/DC song record now, it's all precise, and you lose the human element of it. And those are the ones that people don't like. But if the albums that we do like are the ones that are rough and they're not precise. And from playing in pub gigs, you make mistakes all the time, no one notices. But if you're doing your thing and you're just having a good time yourself, the audience feeds off that.
Mm.
Then you feed off the audience. And from watching and observing that, and then I spoke to my dad about it, and I says, I'm doing this, and you know, I'm playing in Irish bars, and all I'm doing is, I was having a sound check with a guitar and a foot stomp, and people were getting up and clapping their hands and getting up on tables. Sound check, I wasn't singing, hadn't even started. And he just says, yeah, it doesn't take much for us to get going.
Mm.
So understand the Irish element of it as well. We don't need perfect, we just need vibe.
Mm.
It's like that pub element that we had, you know, when you're growing up, and it's the Irish pub, and nothing in there is perfect, and you're just having a good time, you're setting the vibe. Nothing is meant to be perfect, because if it's perfect, then it's not... It's
authentic,
yeah,
and human, and
yeah,
that's what we connect to at the end of the day. Yeah,
precisely, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a bit about the music that you're making. So mm-hmm. you record, write, and produce all of your music, is that right?
I'm starting to, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I saw a video on your Instagram
mm-hmm.
of you in like a DIY studio, which looked like in an attic.
Yes.
And my first thought was, if this doesn't scream like independent artist, then I don't know what does. So could you tell me a little bit about your experience as an independent?
Yeah.
And how you got into producing your own music?
Yeah, so that was my actual attic.
Yeah.
In the house. And I had lived in London, and I came back home, and I was... moving things around the house and trying to create, you know, because there wasn't anyone in the house at the time, so you walk in the house and you just dump stuff there. Wanted to make it more livable for myself and give myself more space, because as when you're creative, I realize you need space and you can't have clutter.
Mm.
So I'm just throwing things into the attic, and I was climbing down the ladder, and I looked over and I saw this brick wall, and I saw the wood in the attic, and I thought, that's going to be a cool little backdrop to have for me to have for maybe putting some videos, because it suits, it's off the aesthetics.
Yeah,
it suits that, it suits my, the clothes that I wear, the experiences that I've had, and who I'm as a person. It's rough, it's rootsy, it's not perfect, it's not like a shiny fancy studio. It's rough, it's ready, and it suits the songs, because again, the songs, and it suits the vibe. So I thought, right, I'll do that. And I have like, I use a little suitcase as a kick drum that I put, again, it's rednecky, rootsy, it's not perfect. I got that because I was using a foot stomp and a loop pedal here for some stuff. And everyone uses the same thing. And then I went back home, I was in Belfast. And just that day, there happened to be a busking event on and for one of the radio stations. And I saw a lot of the guys have set up. Same foot stomp, same loop pedal, and I thought, right, that was a moment that I told myself, right, I got to be different, and because this is an industry where you need to stand out, but it has to be authentic. So if it doesn't fit, people see it. They don't know that they see it, but they just know that because they can sense it. And I thought, right, I need something different for this kick drum. Mm-hmm. But also, I realized that within music, it's visual as well. People see before they hear. Which is why certain bands, like you got Kiss, wear makeup, wear high heels, wear, you know, blood coming out of everywhere, and they've got you know, fireworks and stuff. That's visual, and people see that. So what can I take in that from? What can I do with that? And I started looking for different kick drums, and I saw a guy do a video with a kick drum for the suitcase, and he made it into a kick drum, and I thought, that's cool, that's different, but I can't use that one because it's shiny and nice, and I thought, I realized that in the house where my parents have, they've got all these old suitcases from the 40s that my grandparents would have brought over whenever they moved over to Ireland, and I thought, I'm gonna try that. So I got that. I had a drum kick in the house, and I used the kick pedal for that as a beater, and I thought, this is cool. And then I thought, I need a bit of a high end as well, because when you're working with music, you have frequencies. So you've got the low frequencies, the mids, and the highs, which is then, when it comes to songwriting and production, that's how you create a song, using all the frequencies.
Mm.
Okay, and I've got the low end, I've got the mid end, but I need a high end. So I had an old tambourine, I've got a bungee cord that I use for the busking and just holding things together. Put the bungee cord around the suitcase, put the suitcase in, gives a bit of a rattle, gives a bit of a rootiness,
yeah,
which fits the sound of the songs that I want to do, because it's, you know, from living in mountain towns, living on beaches, that's what you do. You kind of, you have what you use what you have. Again, there's an Irishness to it as well, of using what you have. So I was like, oh, this is cool. This works. So then I started live streaming with that in the attic. And people, again, from what I picked up on, I'm just not a guy in a bedroom with a guitar. And then you get people watching you, people comment on you. Why are you in your attic? What's that suitcase? Why is that? So it's, that's the visual aspect of what you want.
And sparks intrigue. And
it has interest. So people question you. And then from live streaming, what I've learned is you can sit and play your songs all you want, and people would tell me that I don't like the songs that you play, but I like the vibe that you have to offer.
Which is just as important.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So, and then from I've worked with different producers that they're really good at what they do, but it's not just exactly what I'm looking for. But I take the positives out of it. Okay, what did they do? And what I've learned was how to build a song, and like what I said about the frequencies. You've got a guitar, you've got a voice. That's a song. But then you have to make a record, and a record is different to a song. And then, what's authentic? What is my sound? And it's all for myself. I think for anybody as well, it's all trial and error. You have to try things. This works. Okay, I'll add this to a song. Doesn't work. It's not. I don't feel like it's me. But anything that is meant to be for you, like people say, it comes to you.
And like, what passed you by?
Yeah, and that's. But you have to be aware of it. You have to allow it to kind of, by doing the things that don't fit you, you then look towards something else. Which is why using a suitcase as a drum kit just came to me, because I was open to it. I was thinking about it, and I was in my from my sound as well, because especially whenever you're doing this by yourself, you want to have the full band, and everyone kind of falls to prey. Oh, I need a drummer, I need a bass guitar, I need another, all these different instruments, which is what I learned in the first record I made, was like, I don't really necessarily want I would like a full band, but when you live in London, finding a drummer is like hen's teeth. You don't get it. And not necessarily wanting to do this by myself, but how can I make it a visual? And I was what's my sound? And it's by exploring and not being afraid to go, I'll try this, doesn't work. Try this, doesn't work. And I was in Canada, and I was doing a road trip from Calgary to Vancouver. And we were in this small town. I can't remember what it's called, but it's somewhere in British Columbia. And we were staying in my friend had a van, so we were tent and everything just through BC. And we stayed in this hostel, and the hostel had an open mic. So my friend was like, go on, get up, you know, play some songs. So I thought, okay, I'm in Canada, I'll do, you know, Wagon Wheel and Country Roads.
Classic,
and
yeah.
Dirty Old Town. And I was playing the guitar, and I could see this guy standing at the bar. He had a mandolin, and he was trying to play along. So I turned my guitar, so I could talk. Made eye contact with him. Like, these are the chords I'm playing. And after the song, I called him over. I said, just, you know, get up and play with me. I'm going to play. These are the songs I'm going to play. It's all G. See, these are the chords. All the same chords. So we're playing this. I'm like, this sounds so cool, of having the mandolin over the guitar. And then this other guy came up with a harmonica. And he goes, what key are you guys in? I goes, hey, we're in G. He goes, do you mind if I play along? He goes, go for it, you know? So I've got this, playing in this like log cabin of a bar in somewhere in BC in Canada. And I'm playing, you know, these kind of like songs I like, you know, the Country Roads, Dirty Old Town. And I've got a guy here playing a mandolin. I've got a guy here playing a banjo. And I'm thinking to myself, this is my sound.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about your last song that you will share with us today? And that is Show Me the Way.
Yeah, so it's about me living in London and going back home. I wrote it back at home in Ireland after I moved back, and realising that I'm not a city person. I'm, like, all the experiences that I've had in Canada and stuff, and I'm a country person. I like the outdoors, I like the nature. And there's the line it's about me being being born in Ireland and not fitting in there and leaving and going to the city and realising how much the city just burns me out. And then the line in the song being like, never giving my life to the city again, is about, okay, I moved to the city, it burnt me out. You can't fight it, you can't change the city. It's an animal, it's its own animal in itself, it's its own life form. It's burning me out, and then I don't enjoy it. I have to live here in a sense for what you want to do, but I don't want to give myself to the city. You want to be true to who you are as a person as well.
Yeah.
And be careful to not lose yourself.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's hear it. This is Show Me the Way by Finn St. Clair.
Show me the way, yeah. 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 Where the setting sun could be my torch and the Milky Way my trail. And never give myself away to the city life again. I was born a black sheep down in a bar in a lonesome town. Strapped a bag around my back and I straddled out of town. Boots or have a worn right down to the soul that lights my back. It's a long way left to go. Show me the way, yeah. 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 Where the setting sun could be my torch and the Milky Way my trail. I never give myself away to the city life again. Around a town or two, but they never knew my name. I stayed too long, I burned too bright, let the lantern fade away. The city lights don't cut me out like a moth into a flame. It's the same, same once again. Show me the way, yeah. 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 Where the sunny sun could be my torch and the Milky Way my trail. I never give myself away to the city life again. And I sit alone at night, the quiet, it never sounds the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I sit alone at night, I trade it all to feel the rain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you can't find the stars tonight, then you can find your way. Yeah, yeah, show me the way, yeah. 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 Where the sunny sun could be my torch and the Milky Way my trail. I never give myself away to the city life again. And I never give myself away to the city life again.
The Alpha Sessions.
Cool. Thank you, Finn, for sharing that one with us. Now, before we wrap up, I would just like to ask, where can we find you? Where can your fan base find you?
All the socials. I've got my stuff on Spotify. I've got a YouTube, which I'm trying to live stream more. And I've got all the Instagram. It's all there. And it's all at Finn St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same.
And is there a message that you'd like to leave with your fan base? Any final words? Words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom. The one thing that I've realised, and I actually made a post about this on Spotify, is that for some reason, I can't give up and I can't stop.
Mm.
And I've actually got a friend recently who was like, I'm done making music. And it was something that I heard about a while ago, was that everything on the other, is about not giving up, and everything that you want on the is on the other side of not giving up.
Mm.
So it's not giving up is a poignant part of life where life is telling you, how bad do you want this? Okay, I'm going to put you through all the trials and things, but I want to see it, but it's going to make you stronger.
Mm.
And I almost gave up. I almost went home and I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is exhausting. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not being able to play my own songs, but for some reason, I went home, and within the space of four months, I wrote like 13 songs, And I'm like, okay, it's not done, but I have to have to do it in a different way. So it's all about you.
Resilience and like just keep on pushing and
yeah, resilience yeah. And what else am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Again, yeah. It just circles back to like why you're doing this in the first place, yeah. Rather than that fulfillment and joy.
And it's life, and you don't know where life is going to take you. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how long you've got. If you were 95 years old and you looked back, what would you do?
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely a great way to look at it. Well, thank you so much, Finn, for coming on the show and sharing your music. It's been lovely to have you and to listen to you. I'm Sophia Brown, and you've been listening to The Alpha Sessions. Thanks so much.
The Alpha Sessions.